ministry, and that souls might be saved and God would bless his word. Now we're turning to Revelation chapter 13. And we're going to unite together at the throne of grace in prayer. Our loving God and our Father, we thank thee for the opportunity of coming to thee in the place of prayer. We rejoice, O God, in the fact that we have a God who is able to do mighty things, who is in control, who is sovereign. And though man may seek to exalt himself, and man thinks that he can gain control, yet our God, we realize that there's a sovereign God who reigns and rules in this universe. And we worship thee. We come to thy feet. And would ask thee, our God, that each one who is here today may have the wisdom and the understanding and just the common sense to bow at thy feet and worship thee as Lord of lords and King of kings. Bless us as we gather at thy feet and write thy word upon our hearts. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. The book of Revelation is a prophetic book. It is an apocalypse. And at the very beginning of the book of Revelation, we are given really what is an outline of the book. If you turn to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19, you'll see what is the outline of the book. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And that will help you to understand. Some of the elders were speaking just before the meeting about a particular view about the seven churches. And if you take the outline that is given there, the things which were, which are is the start of the book, and it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you come to the seven churches, that's the things that are. And that was the churches that were in those days. And then you come on down from chapter 4, and then you have the things which shall be hereafter. Now, the portion of Scripture in Revelation chapter 13 that we're dealing then with is in the portion of the book which speaks of the things which shall be hereafter. We're dealing with the things which are to come to pass. And in Revelation 13, we have a description of a beast who comes out of the sea. Now, the book of Revelation is full of symbolism. And the thing about the symbols that we have in the Bible, where you have symbolism in the Bible, and we don't deny that there is symbolism in the Bible, but where you have symbolism in the Bible, it stands for something. The symbol represents something. The symbol is warning about something that is real. You know, you get the signs along the roadside, and you get the triangle with the wee man that's digging at the road, and you know that it speaks of roadworks. Now, you know that when you come along, there's not just one wee man digging at the road. There's usually several wee men digging at the road, and the symbol is usually less than the reality. And so we have the symbolism here, and it speaks about this beast that arises out of the sea. And he is known in the Bible otherwise as the Antichrist. Now the Bible actually is full of references to this person, and he's given various titles. He is known as the man of sin. He is called the Antichrist. He is called the son of perdition, or that wicked one, or as he's referred to here in this portion, as the beast. Now, the last time we looked at the subject of last things, we looked at Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the interpretation of it in Daniel chapter 2. And we thought that how that at the end of time, there were going to be 10 kingdoms represented by the 10 toes of the image, and that those 10 kingdoms would arise out of the territory represented by the Roman Empire. Now it is interesting to see that there are 10 horns with 10 crowns. And also, if you turn over to Revelation chapter 17 and look at verse 12, again, it mentions the 10 horns. Now, horn speaks of power. The animal that has a horn, that speaks of its power. And always when you get a horn, it is a symbol of power. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So now you see that there are 10 kings of 10 kingdoms, and they have an association with the beast, or the Antichrist, or the man of sin, or the son of perdition, or whatever name you want to give him. And it says of the 10 kings in verse 13 then, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. So the beast there is mentioned in relation to the 10 kings that are the 10 kingdoms that we saw were going to arise in a day to come. Now if those 10 kingdoms are going to arise in the day to come, that means that the Antichrist, this figure, this beast, will arise in a day to come. Now, I believe what the Westminster Confession says about the Pope, that he is that Antichrist in the Church. And the Pope of Rome is an Antichrist. The Bible speaks about many Antichrists. And the Church of Rome is an anti-Christian system. It is part of the whore. The religious system that is associated with the Antichrist here, it is an ecumenical religion, and the ecumenical religions of this world will get together. There'll be a one world religion, and this ecumenical desire is a false ecumenism. God's true people should be together. We are one. There's one church, one spirit, one baptism. But there is also a false ecumenism. And that is why God's people need to come out of the false ecumenism of this day and generation, because this false ecumenism is going towards that one world church which will be at the back and will arise with the Antichrist in a day to come. But notice here that what we're going to do today is look at the Antichrist, this beast as he's described in Revelation chapter 13. But before we do so, could I just draw your attention to other beasts that are mentioned here in this chapter and the chapter before. In verse 2, there's a mention of a dragon. And the dragon, it says about the beast, I saw he was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, if you look back in Revelation chapter 12, and you look at verse 9, it says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So who is the dragon? The dragon is the devil, or Satan. And he gives the beast here, the Antichrist, his power. Then there's another beast that is mentioned. If you go down to verse 10 and beyond, there is another beast. There's a beast out of the sea, but there's also a beast that arises out of the earth. And this is what we are calling the false prophet. This is the religious aspect of anti-Christianity. A false prophet who arises and speaks great things, and he has a great power, and his power is also given by the beast. Now you'll notice that there are three persons in this unholy trinity. There is the devil, there is the Antichrist, and there's the false prophet. Now you'll find in the Bible the devil is a counterfeit for everything that is true. There is a false gospel, and the devil has a false gospel in this day in which we live. There is a false spirit. The Bible speaks about a false spirit that goes forth and deceives many. It looks like the real thing, and it looks as if this is the Holy Spirit of God, but it is a false spirit. And now we have a false trinity. God is three persons in one. And here we have three persons of the satanic trinity. There's the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And I want to spend time today, we're going to look at a portrait of the Antichrist, but I want you to realize that the devil seeks to imitate God. The devil is a great imitator of God and wants to deceive people by imitating God. And that's why we need to be careful, men and women, today. That's why we need an understanding of the Scriptures, especially in the ages that we're coming into, because there's much false worship and there's much of a false spirit that goes abroad. And we need to be in the Scriptures and we need to know the things that the Scriptures say. So let's look at Revelation chapter 13 today. We're going to look, concentrating on Revelation 13. And we want to see the things that the Bible speaks about this Antichrist. Who is he? What is he? Where will he appear? What will he be? What will he do? We're going to answer some of those questions as we look at this portion of Scripture today. And the first thing I want you to see about the Antichrist here is the advent of the beast. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Revelation chapter 13. He says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." Now, you notice some things that are revealed about him here. Notice his arrival on the world stage. Verse 1 speaks of the location of his arrival. It says that he stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now, what's the sea in the Bible? The sea, the great sea, is the Mediterranean Sea. That is where biblical prophecy is concentrated. Around the area, we said this before, around the area of the Mediterranean Sea. Actually, the word Mediterranean means in the midst of the world or in the midst of the earth. And that's the sea that is in the midst of the prophetic earth, the Mediterranean Sea. So we notice that this beast rises up out of the Mediterranean Sea. And he is associated with the number 666. He will stride the world that is washed, coming up out of that world that is washed by the Mediterranean Sea. Now, that's one of the reasons why Saddam Hussein could not have been the Antichrist. Because this beast comes from one of the countries around the Mediterranean Sea. He rises up out of the sea. And when you hear people saying that this one is the Antichrist and that one is the Antichrist, you see here that he arises out of the sea. Recently, somebody has done a study on George W. Bush, and they have taken the name of George W. Bush, and they have given the name its numerical values, and they have come up with the number 666. And they have said that George W. Bush is the Antichrist. Of course, that's a lot of nonsense. And you can see, first of all, it's a lot of nonsense, because here he rises out of the sea, from around the countries that are around the Mediterranean Sea. Then not only do we see his location, but you notice his likeness. See what he is. He's a wonderful beast. Look at verse 2. "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority." Now, it's interesting to notice those three animals that are mentioned there and the fourth one, which is the dragon, because we noticed, we talked about Nebuchadnezzar's dream last time. And we said that in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, you remember it represented four kingdoms, the head of gold representing Babylon, the breast and the arms of silver representing Medo-Persia. We had the thighs of brass speaking of Greece, and the legs of iron, speaking of Rome. Well, later on in the book of Daniel, there's another vision or another dream given. And in Daniel chapter 7, the four kingdoms are represented again. This time, they're represented as four beasts. And what are the beasts? Well, there is the leopard, which represents Greece. And you have the lion, which speaks of Babylon. And then you have the bear, which represents Medo-Persia. It's in Daniel chapter 7, verses 3 to 7. If you want to write it down or you want to take a note of it, you'll see that they're the same beasts that are mentioned here. But you notice that here, the prominent beast is a leopard. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. Leopard, as we said, represents Greece. So the characteristics of Greece here, the characteristics that represented Greece are prominent here as he appears, as he comes. Now, what did we say were the prominent characteristics of Greece? Well, we said it was their wisdom, their culture. Greece was a cultured civilization. We think of the philosophers like Plato and Aristotle and Socrates, and whose philosophy still influences to a great degree in this world in which we live. So when this beast comes up out of the Mediterranean, out of the sea, the prominent characteristic will be culture, wisdom. He will appear very wise, and he will appear wonderful to people, so the people will wonder, it says, after the beast. They will admire him. Indeed, it will go on, we'll see, they worship him. You say, how could that be? How could people admire this awful character, this beast? How could they admire him? Well, of course, it has happened in the world before. You think of the German people, and the German people were given the title of being the most educated people in that day and generation. The great ideas were coming out of Germany, and so many of the great men of the day and generation were Germans. But when Hitler arose, they listened to Hitler. They were swayed by Hitler. They were carried along by Hitler, and they admired him. We think of how even the king who abdicated the throne of Britain admired Hitler at the time. And if they admired Hitler, will they not admire this man who comes with wisdom and with seeming culture and seems to be so wise and wonderful? So we see that this is a wonderful beast. And then we notice that he is a wild beast. Because the word beast there is not the same word that is used other places in the book of Revelation, where it speaks of some of the angelic creatures as beasts. This word is a word in the Greek which means a wild beast. It doesn't speak of the cattle in the field or the sheep or something like that, that kind of a beast, but it speaks of a ferocious beast, a wild beast. It is as if God does not consider this individual to be created in his image. You know that men are created in the image of God, but it seems to be a suggestion here that this creature is not in the image of God. He arises from satanic sources. Well, we're only entering into speculation now, but it seems to be a suggestion anyway that he is not made in the image of God. He's energized by hell. If you look at Revelation chapter 11 and verse 7, and also Revelation 17 and verse 8, you will find that he arises out of the pit. And you'll also notice that there's a family likeness between him and the devil, because here he is described as having seven heads and ten horns. And also you'll find in the book of Revelation that the devil is described as having, verse 3 of chapter 12, that he has seven heads and ten horns. So there's a family likeness between him and the devil. And you'll notice this manifestation of satanic power. He is a wild beast. There's no taming of him. He's not like any other individual. His heart is filled with violence. His heart is filled with hatred of the things of God. He will war with the saints, and people will wonder at him. But my, here he is with this hatred, this satanic hatred in his heart against the things of God. Not only is he a wild beast, but he is a wounded beast. Look at verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, John doesn't really explain what he means by the fact that it's wounded here, wounded to death. It may be that he is wounded in some way that his political career would, normally speaking, have come to an end. Maybe he is some scandal or something happens and he recovers from that. Or maybe he's literally he dies. He's wounded to death literally and he arises from the dead. Where it says in Revelation 11 and 7 and 17 and 8 that he ascends out of the abyss. There may be some suggestion that the devil attempts a resurrection or does a resurrection, and he's given permission to resurrect a man. And this anyway, whatever happens here, it adds to the authority of the Antichrist. And people wonder after him. Look at what they say in Revelation 13, in verse 4. They say, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? He is invulnerable." It seems as if nobody can do anything to thwart this beast, this Antichrist. You see how the world rejected the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but maybe it will believe in the resurrection that Satan brings about. Isn't that significant? The Lord Jesus said in John 5 and verse 43, "I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him will ye receive." And the world will receive. The world will receive. The world is looking for a strong individual today, one who will take the reins of authority and who will reign in authority and with might and will bring everything and deal with the violences in the world and the awful things that are taking place in the world. And they're looking for an individual like that. Now, it doesn't matter what the morals of that individual may be. It doesn't matter about what kind of lifestyle he has. Don't we even see that today? We've had prime ministers who were proven liars. And yet, it didn't matter. People just voted that individual into authority and voted that individual into power, even though they were immoral. You think of the Irish Republic. It has had a prime minister for years now, and that prime minister for many years lived openly in an immoral relationship. And yet, Catholic Ireland still clings on to a prime minister like that. And you think of the immoral, you think of Bill Clinton and the immorality that he was found out in, and yet still they voted him into power. And the world doesn't mind about immorality. We're being told today that your immorality and what you do in your private life doesn't affect what you do in your public life. You can be a liar in your private life, but somehow you're not going to be a liar in your public life. Well, you can tell lies all you want in your private life, and you can go against the morals, and you can play the field against your wife or your husband or whoever it may be, and you can commit adultery. But it seems then that you are expected then to keep your promises when you are in the public life. Well, men, women, it doesn't work like that. But that is what we're being fed today. And that's what people are believing today. And that is what people are looking to today. They're looking for someone to take control. And the world wonders after this beast, this Antichrist, this false prophet. Or this, well, the other is a false prophet. But this false individual. And we think, men and women, of how the world is being deceived today. I've only got to my first point and I can't do any more. So we'll leave it there. But think of this, men and women. The world is wandering after these individuals. The world is being deceived by these. And you notice what it says here. It says in verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. This is the false prophet, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And they do it. And then, women, you today are going to be deceived unless you turn to the Lord. The world has great propaganda, and the world comes with wisdom. We said that the Antichrist, when he comes with great wisdom and culture and authority, and people will take it all in. But you'll find at the end, if we had to come to the end of the service sermon here, you'll find that the Antichrist comes to nothing. He makes war against the Lamb. And it seems as if he is going to, in his boldness and in his arrogance, to go out against God and fight against God. But you only do that, it's only the fool who does that, men and women. And if you're fighting against God, here is what is taking place. We said that in Europe we're seeing a reformation of the Roman Empire. The ten kingdoms will come, the ten kings. And we said that these ten kings will give authority to the beast. And then the beast will come and men will wander after him. These things are taking place. These things are coming to pass. And God's prophecy is sure. We saw last time how that Daniel spoke of the Greek Empire and the Medo-Persian Empire and the Roman Empire long before those empires were ever thought of. And it came to pass. And we see that there will arise this individual, this man, this Antichrist, who will come and he'll deceive many. Will he deceive you? Are you already being deceived by the propaganda of this world, by the fashions of this day and generation, by the philosophy that says, oh, it doesn't matter what you do in your private life. It doesn't affect your public life. All that sort of propaganda, that is setting the stage for this wicked individual who will come. And that's why you need to be saved. Because it says here that they'll be deceived, all whose names are not written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life that is mentioned here. They will be deceived. Now, is your name written in that book? Is your name written there on those pages, bright and fair? Is your name written in the book of life? For men, women, you need to come and trust them today. Here is a wonderful beast. Here is a wild beast. Here is a wounded beast. But here is a beast who will only last for a season. You notice what is said of him here in this portion of Scripture. Verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's 3.5 years. Or a time, times, and half a times, as it is also spoken of in the Bible. It is given that period of time in different, it's also described in months. But this individual has only a limited time. Only a limited time. He comes to power. And God gives him permission to have power. But he's only power for a limited time. You have only a limited time. You have only limited opportunity to get right with God. And so you must come today. And you must put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For men, women, you have only a limited time. Get right with God today. And put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. As we said, we only got to the first point there. We'll deal with this again. Men, women, don't be deceived. There is that spirit of Antichrist that is abroad in this world today and is deceiving many. Do not be deceived, but put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow, please, in a word of prayer. our loving God and our gracious Father, we realize the truth of God's precious word. We realize, O God, the fact that there is the great beast that will arise. We realize he'll deceive many and is deceiving. The spirit of Antichrist is deceiving many. We ask thee, Lord, that those that are being deceived today will have light. And they'll see the one who is the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, speak on now. Write thy word upon hearts and draw us to thyself for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.